I don't care what meter Tim starts with. Those were spiritual requests. Whoever was the penman of that hymn certainly knew what he was talking about. And John told you about the pillars there in Samuel. And immediately, the Spirit of the Lord brought to mind this. And when James, Cephas, and John, who perceived to be pillars, received the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Church there recognized spiritual ministry of Paul and Barnabas. Those pillars there, that's what's going to be here. Men who will stand for the truth no matter who is against it. Who will battle their way through all kind of oppositions and be faithful to the Lord. And women who will stand by these men, pray, encourage, and labor diligently in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only if God establish that here. You say, well, he already has. Only if God continue to establish and keep you in his will this place remain. Seven churches Christ sent the letter to, every last one of them ended up having the candlestick removed, reprobated, given up, given over. That which at one time was a beacon for the Lord. If you'll turn back with me to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. I trust the Lord will continue, as he already has begun, in prayer, in the scripture reading, and in the hymn, that he will continue his work, the Spirit's work, through the preaching hour. John chapter 1, Lord, bless it now and open it in our hearts and exalt Christ. Beginning with verse number 42, I read these to you last week, but you can't ever come to the end of a passage having gotten all there is. You found it to be so, I'm certain. And you're reading that you've read many times. The Spirit of God will take it like a diamond. He'll just turn it a little bit and you'll see something else in it. And he brought him to Jesus. That's Simon. Andrew brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, the eyes all seeing and all knowing eyes of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes that's not good. Sometimes that's a great blessing. You're fighting fiery darts and accusations of the devil, and you say, Lord, thou knowest my heart. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. And Simon, I'm going to tell you what that name means. It means, it is by interpretation, the stone. I'm going to make you that in the church. Right now you're Simon. Your old nature's in control, even though we now have met. You'll find throughout the years that Simon and not Peter will be the one determining that you do. You go by the inclinations of flesh. Flesh will control you for a time. But over the years, as you follow me, Simon, son of Jonah, you fall, you stumble, grace abounds. You deny me. You curse to prove that your language is not that of your follower, of you following me. You're going to do all those things. I pray for you that your faith will not fail. And you're going to come out of the fire, of the fires. And you're going to be Cephas, a a stone. Bath, which is in the church of God, that others might be built upon. Again, I encourage you to read 1 and 2 Peter in the light of a fallen Simon. In the light of one that was so arrogant that he'd look God Almighty in the face and tell him he didn't know what he was talking about. He wasn't going to go to no cross. Read it in the light of Simon, the son of Jonah. Having been restored, grace abounding. Don't go out of here thinking that you can sin because grace abounds. Don't make the grace of God to be turn you in to using it as a license to sin. Many are not recovered. Many fall never to be helped up. Simon, and to the morning of the resurrection, Simon, having gone out of the judgment hall with a broken heart, weeping bitterly because he did what Christ said he would do, he failed. But the messenger from Christ, go tell my disciples. And I want you to specifically include in them only disciple called by name. I want you to tell Peter. I want you to tell the rock. He's done exactly that which Judas Iscariot did. He denied me, proved with his tongue that he could not be my disciple. And I know that the thought has been in his mind, what have I to live for? Why don't I just go hang myself? Kill myself? Judas did. I'm no different than Judas. And grace in his soul would bring up a reason. No good. And Simon got word, personal word from the Lord Jesus that day. Behold, I ascend to my God and your God, and I ascend to my Father and your Father. And it had to encourage a fallen disciple. And it had to put back a little hope. Maybe I'm not lost. And he got word. You all right? I don't want an apology. I probably gave you wrong directions. Simon, son of Jonah, you're going to be Cephas. In the resurrected morning, the resurrected Christ sent the word. Go tell Simon. And then a little later, Jesus looked him into his face and said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yes. The third time the question came, he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. I know now. You told me you'd pray for me and that I'd deny you. I know now that grace has abounded and you've recovered me. And I know that you know that I love you. Every last individual member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be brought to the identity of the name that God gives you. You will fall, you will stumble, you will find yourself at times with a cold and different heart. But God will make grace to abound. And whatever He named you, you will come into the possession of what that name means. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Every last single child of God will be brought into the full identity of the sons and daughters of God. They'll look like, they'll talk like, and they'll live like God's only begotten Son. You're headed there. If you're a Christian, you're headed there. If you are a Christian, God will not leave you alone till you reflect that name God has given you. Just a verse in Revelation chapter number 2. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Verse number 17, I'm sorry. 2:17. Unto the churches. Now here's a condition. It will be met. It will be met by the weakest individual member in the body of Christ, in any local church where Christ is, to him that overcometh, all of them shall, because Christ prayed for you. Same as Peter, that great priestly prayer. Father, I pray that those that thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now the long-reaching effect of that request might be glory. But the only way that you're going to go to glory is that if in time God continues to work in your heart so that you are with Him. For I am, that they may also be. So you're going to overcome. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. I trust it's here this day and every day. and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written. We'll give every individual member in the body of Christ a white stone, and in that stone there will be a name written only for you. A new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And included in that name, Old Testament saints, they've been a place, God manifested himself. They've been astray, God manifested himself. That they their children. We'll call him Jacob, because that's the identity that he has reflected over his early years. But the Lord Jesus met this repiner and said, Jacob, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. A new name, and God will bring him in time to the identity of what that name represents. I don't know your purpose in the local assembly. Be it that of a saint that continually is in prayer for the conversions of the young ones that nobody ever hears or knows. Be it that of a mother in Israel that's her life will mark before her children in the community she walks with and she loves Christ. Or be it he giving you the name of a stone. Someday that you'll be a pillar here. And as God removes the saints and takes them on to be with him in glory, God will have so established you in faith, in holiness, and in righteousness that the name of Christ lives on. I don't know what your name might be, but you know it. No man knoweth it except he to whom God gave the stone. And in time, right now you don't feel like much. Right now you don't have, you think, much wisdom or much learning. You will. It'll be all right. You will. Now back to John 1. That's in verse number 42. Simon, son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas. I'll tell you what that name means. The stone. And the day following, Jesus goeth forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. I found one that I'd like for you to meet, Nathanael. Andrew says to Simon, sure wish you'd meet the one I found yesterday. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law, not going to go back there where we were last week. We have found him of whom Moses, by type, by word of mouth, wrote about, prophet, the great teacher like unto me, raised up of you, one of you, and the prophets, the branch, the Shiloh, the eternal God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Prophets did write. Now here's the second mistake of that young believer. Number one was, we found him in a natural sense that is right. As far as the sheep not being with the flock, that's right. But the shepherd never lost the sheep. Even the strange sheep that had got lost, the shepherd knew. Even the prodigal son that went away from the father's house, he was still in view of the shepherd. And it's always been the shepherd, but it's all right, children, to think we found him. God will bring you on to see that before time ever was, he had you in mind. Before time ever began, God had the book of life with all the sheep's names written there. He's always watching over. He sent before you were born to maintain at birth and through life. You, angels, became ministering spirits unto those that would be sons of God. You still are alive today because God's been watching over you. You're not here by luck or by chance. So, Nathaniel didn't find him. Christ found him. But oh, you can't tell that joy and that excitement and that enthusiasm and that love when a young believer finds Christ. You can't tell them that they haven't found him, for they have. But the second mistake was Jesus of Nazareth. He was not from Nazareth. Micah 5 said, though Bethlehem Judah was the least, out of her would one come. Christ, out of Bethlehem. He did reside in Nazareth a long time or a good while, and he always carried that, and it was a slang term. That's Jesus of Nazareth. Nothing good ever came out of there. It's a poor village. Never has been a prophet come out of there. Never has been anything in Scripture written about a prophet coming from Nazareth. And Israel as a whole held him as Jesus of Nazareth to the crucifixion. But he was of Bethlehem. And thirdly, the son of Joseph. He wasn't. It is almost 100% of the time the father that determines whether the child will be a boy or a girl. And it is through that bloodline. And he couldn't have been born of Joseph. The wrong X or Y chromosome, I think the Y. Might have fertilized the egg and it'd been a little girl. God was his father. And if he'd been the son of Joseph, then the sin would have been transmitted down through the bloodline that from Adam. So he was the son of God, not the son of Joseph. But he died as the son of Joseph to most in Israel. Well, this morning, from this, that which constitutes, and only this makes a church. We've heard it requested in prayer. We've heard it requested in Him. Only the presence of the eternal God that is seen and manifest in the Lord Jesus Christ constitutes a church. It is His presence, and we, in our thinking, having found Him, if Jesus Christ ceases to be here, we're not a church. You can go on, you can carry on your programs, you can carry on your traditions, but if Christ is not here, you are not a church. You're just a shell. Undertaker gets the body of one that life has seized. And it's called the remains. That's all that's there. The man's not alive. He can't see. He can't hear. He can't feel. The only thing that is there is the remains. And you let Christ depart, and all you got here is the remains. Sardis, I know thy works, and thou hast the name that thou livest. But the Amplified says, but in reality, you're dead. It was a blessed day in the life of Philip when he's searching through the Old Testament. For how long, I don't know. But it was a good and glorious day when he came face to face, when he was confronted with that Moses wrote about and the prophets wrote about, and he found him. It was a day when Hebrews 10 talks about the law having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image. It was a good day when the shadow of the old economy, showing Christ in type and in picture and now in reality. How long he had read through the Old Testament, I don't know. How many places God had revealed to him that they're speaking about my son, I don't know. But I know he found him. And the law, or that which the law shadowed, now grace has brought the very image of God. That which makes a church. Daniel prayed, said, therefore, O our God, hear me, and the petition and the petitions before you, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary, which is desolate. If you don't shine, if we don't see thy face as revealed in Christ Jesus, our programs and our little things that we'll carry out, they don't mean anything. It's a desolate place. Come again. and shores. It was Philip's consideration. It was Philip's meditation. It was Philip's prayerful reading in the Scriptures that brought him before the one that all types and Scripture pointed to. Children, consider what you read. In consideration of what you know is as great an enemy to your Christian walk as is ignorance or things that you don't know. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, Psalm 1:1-2. In his law doth he meditate. We've got more than that now. We've got beyond the type and beyond the shadow and beyond the Old Testament figure. We've got that which is reality. Now meditate. Consider, Paul said, what I say, and the Lord give you understanding. Consider what you read. Consider what you hear. Don't let the end of the message be the end of your consideration. Don't let the end of your morning or evening reading be the end of reading. If that's all it is, you've met that. But the question is, did you hear Christ? Did you see? You may have been pondering over some passages. I do. Psalm for months and months. And then you get a little light. Keep reading. Keep searching. And keep praying. And consider what I say. Now in comparison, Philip and Nathanael was very cautious. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. And Nathanael was another that was devoted to the Old Testament, sitting under the shade of a fig tree, getting a place in the cool there, in that hot, dry climate a lot of the year. And Philip said, Nathanael, we found him. Nathanael said, nothing good could come out of Nazareth. And the Son of God can't be the son of Joseph. He knew enough. He meditated. Digested enough of the Old Testament that he knew Philip was wrong here. Prove all things. Don't take my word for it. Go back and see. Did he tell me the truth? Be as those at Berea. When Paul preached, they searched to see if those things they heard were true. And Nathanael, that saint, said, Philip, can't be. And certainly Philip couldn't argue with him. But he said, you just come and see. Philip knew Jesus. the woman at the well was brought to know Christ. You fellows come see a man that told me all things ever I did and see if this is not the Messiah. Nathaniel met Christ. And Andrew and Simon and the others. How is it that an old aged man in Jerusalem could be told by the Spirit of God to go up to the temple and wait? He was waiting there, and the parents brought in Jesus, the child, to do after the custom of the law. That old Simeon, just and devout as the Spirit identified him. Devout, taking hold, taking, grasping something well, significantly, and certainly. And devout, he had taken hold of the Old Testament, he had taken hold of all the scriptures he had. And how did that old man pick up that child and said to God, "Now let thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation. Here's the consolation of Israel. And you told me, Lord, I wouldn't see death till I'd seen thy salvation." All the children of God that had the Old Testament had the Spirit of God interpreting it. And in the New Testament, all the children of God have the Spirit of God interpreting the Word of God. You think I come to tell you something you don't know? Nope. I come to tell John that I write, not because you don't know, but because you do know. And you've got the Spirit of God in your soul, and it identifies with the word preached. And there is the amen. There is that. That's right. There is that identifying in your heart. God interpreting the scriptures for you. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 12, and I've named a few that met Jesus. I've named one that held a baby and knew, or a young child. And there was another woman, Anna. She saw him, and they knew. Now Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day to the corn, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees, there never was a people as learned in the Old Testament scriptures as were the Pharisees. They knew the scriptures. In their outward man, there was a strict observance of the Pharisees. When Herod heard that a king was born, he called the chief priest and the wise men. And they told him exactly where Jesus would be born because they knew Micah and the prophecy there. Those very apt and very learned men in the Mosaic Law, they examined it. They laid out the interpretation of it. But the interpretation did not come to them by the Spirit of God, but by their own natural minds. And they found fault in the disciples and Jesus plucking corn on the Sabbath day. Go on down with me to verse number 14. They've had all that they need and all that they want. Verse 14, then the Pharisees went out. Philip went and got somebody to bring to. You got a heart that's longing for somebody else to meet the one you love in your soul. Not the Pharisees. They didn't have the Spirit of God to reveal the type, to reveal the person of Christ in the ark, in the sacrifices and offerings. They didn't see in this man Jesus what Philip did or Nathanael did. They went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. Their minds were already closed. Nathanael's heart stayed open even though he heard error from a young believer. He went himself to see. Their minds are already closed to the reception of Jesus as the Messiah. They had the prophets. They had the law. They had the same thing that Philip had in reading the law of Moses and the prophets. But they put their own interpretation upon it. And they missed it. The wise men told the king of Babylon, there's not a man on the face of the earth that can interpret that dream except the gods whose dwelling is not in flesh. And the cornerstone became the stumbling stone of the proud religious Pharisees. When Daniel in the ninth chapter when he prayed that for God's face to shine on the sanctuary, the angel Gabriel came and interpreted the vision that God had given Daniel. He said, after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. In the middle of that week, and all the law shall be fulfilled and the shadows done away with. But the Pharisees didn't understand that Gabriel had interpreted there in Daniel 9. And their whole interpretation of the scripture was based upon the physical. He's coming to deliver us from Roman bondage. And he never did. The health and wealth gospel has greatly affected Americans. The Christians are supposed to be well. The Christians are the ones that are supposed to have the riches. God come to deliver us from our troubles, our trials, and our afflictions. Verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. Multitudes followed the Pharisees are going to put him to death. He delivers one possessed of the devil. Now in verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, the great multitudes followed. Unlike the Pharisees that had seen and heard enough. Unlike most in our land that think that the knowledge they have gained thus far of Christ is sufficient. The Pharisees had all they needed. And this is a sad, sad day in our country when the majority of professing Christians think that with a meeting, or with the knowledge gained, they need no more. They've been introduced to Him, but every child of God that's been introduced to Jesus will strive to follow Him all the days of their lives. If we gain any further knowledge that might be gathered at our convenience, it's all right. But we're certainly not going to put ourselves out to gain knowledge of Him. So the Pharisees that have all they need, they heard of this. Verse number 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, the fellow that cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And they made excuse. And they made him to be possessed by the devil. They made him to be that he was not, but in their minds he was what they said he was. Now in closing, one last verse in this chapter. Verse number 46. Everybody's gone out. They had enough. But there's always some that's not satisfied with the knowledge of Christ gained thus far. And we're not attained. And we continue to strive to apprehend that which has apprehended us. We continue to cry to God that we might know Him, might be a better disciple, a better follower, that we might live up to the name that God has called us, His children, the firstborn, and those that follow the firstborn, all His children. Verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without. As usual, I did not speak the truth. You don't have to turn. I'll read it. I did not speak the truth when I told you that's the last. In John 2:12, after this, he went down to Capernaum. He and his mother and his brethren. As of yet, his brethren do not believe in him. As of right now, his brethren think that he possibly is a little insane. In his early ministry, his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. While he had talked to the people, now I got a question to ask you here. While he talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Why weren't they in the crowd of people. As one of the old Puritans said, they that live closest to the church are often the farthest from Christ. It is unusual for God to bring a man back into the area in which he was raised. He ceases to be the mouthpiece of God because of familiarity. Oh, I remember him when. Why was not his mother and his brethren here with him? Can't take up for them. You can't make excuse for them. Second question. Why did they interrupt him? They've got claims. He's my son. He's our brother. He's our kinfolk. Oh, we know him. We've been around him for 30 years. If you ever, ever, ever find Christ, your labors just begin to keep hunting him. Forgive me. Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest. She had found him. She had been introduced to him. She had lost him. But if you ever find him, though at times he appears to withdraw himself, at times a great cloud comes between the face of God and us, yet you still continue pursuing after because you found him. Oh, thou whom my soul lovest, where do you feed? Where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Notice, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go the way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed the kids beside the shepherd's tent. Psalm 82. Don't turn. We're closing. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. Zion, the city of God. Zion, the place where God's people meet. Zion, the place where the presence of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ and the Spirit, speaking to our souls that he knows of the Son. If you don't know, just go the way the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. They'll tell you where he is. Why weren't they with the crowd? Why'd they interrupt? What they had to tell him was more important than what he was saying. Oh, my soul. Let all the earth keep silent. Be still and know that I am God. Silence out everything you can in your meditations and in your prayers, except that of being in the presence of the great shepherd. If You ever interrupted God? Because you thought of something while you were in the study or praying that you needed to get done. You ever lost Him? Go tell him. Go tell my son that I'm out here. Thank the Lord. Mary got it right. And went all the way to the cross. And felt that prophecy of Simeon to be reality. A sword shall pierce thy heart. As she watched the innocent lamb dying for her sins, Mary was a godly woman. She got it right. But we don't pray through Mary. We go to Mary's son. He's the only one. And I leave you with this, dear children. There has never, ever, ever been a seeker of Christ that's been turned away. Never been one. Well, I might not be elect. Well, you quit worrying about that. That's none of your business. Seek ye the Lord. Well, I may be apostate or reprobate. Well, if there's a little concern that you might be, you're not. Seek ye the Lord. And God Himself said, I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. All that come to me, I will in no wise, blessed be His name, turn away. All of you. And because you're here, I have hope that there is that desire within you to continue on and to know Him and follow Him. And be with the crowd that stayed with Him to the end.